Thank you all for joining us here at I-80 Sports, where today we continue our 32-part 2021 team previews. Today's team, the Seattle Kraken. Thank you all for joining us here for our team preview here at I-80 Sports. Thank you all for joining us here again at I-80 Sports. Make sure you check out our website down below, i80sports.com, for all of our team previews coming up. This is currently wrapping up the Pacific Division right now, but we've got the Central Division, the Metropolitan Division, and the Atlantic Division coming up. So if you got a favorite team in one of those divisions, make sure you check it out, and you can check it out either on our website below, or if you're here on YouTube, you can check it out here on our playlist. Hey, while you're here on YouTube, make sure you drop a like, comment, and subscribe for all of our team previews coming up. And where else can you follow us? You also can follow us down below on Twitter at @i80_sportsNHL. And if you're already currently following, thank you guys so much, because we greatly value all of your support, because without your support, we can't make these. I'm Brian. He's Tom. How you doing today, Tom?
Doing well, and here we are with a preview of a team that hasn't even played a game yet. We don't really have much to compare against. All we have in front of us is a roster. That's about it.
Yep, all we have is a roster, and that's what we're going to be going off of right now. So let's dive right in to some 2020 and 2021 team facts for the Seattle Kraken. So, well, Seattle Kraken, what was their record last year? Well, none. They won zero games last year. They also lost no games last year, so we're starting fresh. Power play and penalty kill stats, I mean, well below average. They were at 0% across the board. They got to pick those numbers up this year. Huge. leading scorers. Also, no goals last year. Pretty disappointing year by the Seattle Kraken. All right, I'm going to stop joking around right now. Let's actually get into some legitimate talk and none of my terrible jokes. Though that might be why you're here. But let's talk about some key additions and subtractions here. So, key additions, all right, the jokes continue. Literally everybody was a key addition, but let's talk about what they did in free agency. In free agency, they picked up Philip Grubauer, Alex Wenberg, Connor Carrick, and Marcus Johansson. And subtractions, they really didn't lose that much since the expansion draft, though they did make a few minor trades, trading away Vitek Vanacek, Curtis McDermott, and Tyler Pitlick. So not a lot of going on, but this is also a brand new franchise and a very really interesting and intriguing team to watch. Based on projections that we've seen so far, we've seen projections all across the board. But before we give you what our thoughts on how they could finish, you know, maybe tune in for later in the video to figure that one out. But let's talk about some X factors. And no, I'm not talking EA Sports X factors. I'm talking about who is going to be pivotal for this team's success. So in Seattle's case, Tom, I'll start with you. Who do you feel are X factors on the Seattle Kraken this year?
Well, three people come to mind. If you look at their depth chart, if you look at the projected lines and whatnot, it looks like this team's going to be built from the goalie out and going to be a defense first team. So it's really all going to depend on how well Philip Grubauer does. I mean, obviously, he was with a high-octane team in Colorado last year, you know, that played a very run-and-gun brand of hockey. So, you know, maybe he will have some more help this year, in theory. But it also depends on the veterans they have back there, especially guys like Mark Giordano and Vince Dunn, to see if they can lead that D and supplement the great goalie skills of Philip Grubauer back there.
Yeah. And I'm going to continue to your point. Grubauer is absolutely an X factor on this team. I will learn to English soon. It will happen. But I was shocked when I found out that Philip Grubauer was signing with Seattle Kraken. I did not think that was anywhere in the plans for the Seattle Kraken this year. I honestly thought that they were going to go into the season with Chris Drager and Vitek Vanacek, which already would have been just fine for the Seattle Kraken. That was already going to be a halfway decent tandem in this Pacific Division, let alone the NHL. But with the addition of Philip Grubauer, that makes things way more interesting for the Seattle Kraken now. Philip Grubauer is a Vezina runner-up from this past year. He finished third in the Vezina voting this year, and he's been in Vezina conversations for the past 2 years now, ever since joining the Colorado Avalanche. Now, with the Seattle Kraken, and a decent defense in front of him, it'll be interesting to watch how he performs in Seattle. Now, other X factors to me that stick out to me, I'm going to agree with you, Tom, that defense is huge for this Seattle team. Mark Giordano is an obvious name to highlight here, the former captain of the Calgary Flames. Another person in my mind that is interesting is Adam Larson and Jamie Oleksiak, who the Kraken signed prior to the expansion draft and signed two extensions. They are defensively minded defensemen, and I think that's going to make a very big difference for Seattle this year, and I do think that Edmonton will miss the presence of Adam Larson on their defense, and I think Dallas is going to miss the presence of Jamie Oleksiak on their defense as well. And then moving out to the forwards, yes, you do have a little bit of a, you know, below average offense for this Seattle team, but there's still a couple names that come to mind that could be point producers for this team. Number one, Jordan Eberle. Jordan Eberle is going to get plenty of time on the top line this year, along with probably Yanni Gourde and Jaden Schwartz. And I think Jordan Eberle could, you know, potentially put up maybe 50 to 60 points on a team like this. It's all going to depend on how other pieces fall around him and what Seattle does later on in this season. But from the start, Jordan Eberle could be a very interesting player to watch. And then another one that I'm going to say is Jonas Donskoy, who is also going to get some opportunities in the top six. With Colorado last year, did decently well. Actually, I don't have his stats from last year pulled up. So actually, I want to pull that up real quick so that way I'm not just blowing smoke here. But his stats from last year, 17 goals, 14 assists. That's 31 points in 51 games last year. Not a bad amount of point production for Jonas Donskoy, and also scoring more goals than having assists is also big. I think realistically Donskoy can get to that 17 mark again. He did it in 51 games last year. He could very easily get to the 20 goal mark this year, and maybe even more than that if he averages more ice time. Last year, he averaged about 14 and a half minutes of ice time. This year, he could very well increase that output this year. I could see him skating about 16 minutes a night. So those extra 2 minutes, that extra shift or two for him, could make all the difference for his point totals this year. So now let's move on to breakout candidates. Who's a player on the Seattle team that could have a breakout season who hasn't quite had a breakout season yet? Tom, I'll start with you on this. Who do you think could be a breakout candidate for the Seattle Kraken?
Okay, well, I'm not really being a homer here, but just one guy who came to mind is Colin Blackwell. He was on the Rangers last year, and he had himself probably a career year. He had himself a year that basically it was go big or go home. Granted, he was on the line with Artemi Panarin most of the year, but he had statistically his best season. He wound up going to the World Championships to play for Team USA, which, you know, that's not a bad thing at all. So I'm curious to see how we'll do here over in Seattle. I really am.
Yeah, Colin Blackwell's a good choice. I think he's going to get some time, and I do like the potential line that he'll be playing on, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. My breakout candidate, I had to go with the popular pick here. So I'm going to go with Vince Dunn. And Vince Dunn, for the past couple years now with the St. Louis Blues, has been doing pretty well. Last year in 43 games, 6 goals, 14 assists for 20 points. The previous season where he played 71 games, he had 9 goals, 14 assists for 23 points. So Vince Dunn in a shorter amount of time was potentially going to break his previous point total high from 2 years ago in, you know, a shorter amount of time. If he gets an 82-game season this year, we could see a career year for Vince Dunn, especially since he's going to be getting top 4 minutes for the Seattle Kraken. I actually really did like the Vince Dunn pick for Seattle. I was originally thinking, okay, a lot of people are picking Vladimir Tarasenko to leave from St. Louis. But then when Vince Dunn was picked, I thought that that was the smarter choice because they are prioritizing defense, which defense in a lot of ways can be a lot harder to acquire over time. So my pick for breakout, I think it's Vince Dunn. But I alluded to before that we got to look at the opening lineup potentially for October. So let's get into that. One big thing to note right now is We're currently right at the end of October. Not the end of October, my goodness. End of August. I was about to say, Freudian slip. Amazing. I want it to be October, but that's just me. We're right at the end of August and right beginning of September when we're making this episode. So there are things that could change between now and opening night. So we're going to talk about what that opening night lineup could look like, but there's still maybe one or two moves that Seattle could make between now and the start of the season in October that could change this lineup. And we'll also talk about variables to this lineup in a little bit as well. So without further ado, what could this lineup look like come October? Well, let's start with this. So we're starting with forward line one. We're going from left to right. So from left wing, center to right wing, we start with Jaden Schwartz, Yanni Gourde, and Jordan Eberle. Moving on to forward line two, we've got Cale Yarncroc, Jared McCann, and Jonas Donskoy. Moving on to the third line, Brandon Tanev, Alex Wenberg, and Mason Appleton. And then forward line four, we've got Colin Blackwell, Morgan Geeky, and Nathan Bastian. And I got to say, I like the bottom six a little bit more than I do the top six. We'll get into that in a little bit, though. For defense, I changed it up a little bit because thinking realistically, who's probably going to command more minutes? So this could have room to change a little bit, I think. But I'll talk about that under variables. So for defense line one, we've got Mark Giordano and Adam Larson. Then on the second line of defense, we've got Vince Dunn and Jamie Oleksiak. And then on the third line of defense, we've got Carson Soucy and Hayden Fleury. And then finally, the goaltending. We've got our starting goalie, recently acquired Philip Grubauer, and backup goaltender. And I'm also going to say 1B just because of the contract that Seattle did give him, Chris Driedger. And I do think that between Philip Grubauer and Chris Driedger, I think it is going to be a 60-40 split. Philip Grubauer is going to get the majority of the starts, but do not be surprised if Chris Driedger finds himself into some more difficult matchups and not just the throwaway matchups. So that's what the opening night lineup could look like, but we got to talk about some variables. So how could this lineup change between now and October? Tom, let's start with you. What are some things that could change between now and October?
I mean, I guess the biggest variable here to me is Mark Giordano. He's your glue guy. I'm pretty sure he's going to wear the C for this team if they do decide to name him a captain. I've tried to look in various different outlets. I couldn't really find anything. But the thing with Giordano is this. Giordano had himself a hell of a year 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. I just want to pull his stat line up real quick. Guys, bear with me for 1 minute here because I had it up and I clicked out of it for whatever reason. I don't know why.
It happens.
Bear with me. You know, he – if we go back to 2018-2019 when Calgary finished first in the Western Conference, 17 goals, 57 assists for 74 points. I can't talk today. But he's kind of been in a steady decline ever since. The following season in 61 games, only had 31 points. And then this past season, he played all 56 games with only 26 points. So that's not exactly promising stats there. So if they can get a rejuvenated Mark Giordano on their line, I really think they could turn some heads. I don't know if it'll be Vegas-like, but I think they could be sniffing for that last spot if Giordano plays like he played 2 years ago. If Giordano keeps declining, this team's going to have a lot of problems because, like I said before, and I know it sounds like a broken record, he's going to be the guy that these players are looking to. They're going to be looking at him for his experience, looking at him for, you know, his leadership. They have like kind of a committee line of forwards there who are all good players, but they just don't have, you know, a lot of that scoring prowess, a lot of that, you know, top player in league prowess. So that's the guy who this team is really, really, really going to lean on. And if he keeps declining, it's going to be a long first year over there in Seattle.
And that's true. Now, to play devil's advocate as well, when Vegas had their draft in 2017, a lot of us looked at the Vegas lineup and said, wow, this is not going to be that great of a team. But we didn't expect them to be. No expansion team prior to Vegas, minus when St. Louis came into the league, was remotely sniffing the playoffs, let alone, you know, going to the Stanley Cup final.
Here's the thing with St. Louis, though. St. Louis also came in with five other teams in the same season, and they all put them in the same division.
This is true.
That was a guarantee that somebody was going, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was a guarantee that somebody was going. But Vegas also happened to have a really, really good coach at the time.
They did.
We're very happy they fired.
This is true. For the Rangers' sake, that is very, very true. But here's the thing. There are still players that could be discovered on the Seattle team, just like some players were discovered on the Vegas team. For instance, nobody thought that William Karlsson was going to be a 70-point producer for the Vegas Golden Knights in his first year, and he was. Riley Smith also contributed to that. Jonathan Marchessault also contributed to that. And then the play of players like that eventually led to even bigger deals down the line and trading draft capital and assets to get other players. Sure, some things have kind of looked to bite Vegas in the butt in recent memory. You know, Nick Suzuki for Max Pacioretty is one thing that I think I have in mind as one thing that I think Vegas will come to regret later on. But hindsight is 20/20. In Seattle's case, I think there's a lot of room for movement in this forward line. I think on any given night, you could see guys shuffling around. I think, you know, things are fluid in general with this forward core. Like I said before, I really like this forward line three. I like this forward line four. The bottom six in general, I think, are good contributors and I think good role players in general and are ready to step into bigger role-playing roles. You know, one person I think off of my mind, and this is not me trying to be a homer here, but Nathan Bastian. Nathan Bastian was a good penalty killer last year for the New Jersey Devils, one of the few that actually could kill penalties. And I think he could continue that trend with Seattle in an expanded role this year. Colin Blackwell is another person that sticks out in my mind as a potential penalty killer. Same with Brandon Tanev. And then you look towards the power play, and you have some guys that I think would be interesting if you pop them onto the power play and see what they could do. Alex Wennberg is a guy that I think of who hasn't quite realized his potential, but who knows? Maybe a third change in scenery, maybe the third time's the charm for a guy like Alex Wennberg. Same with a guy like Mason Appleton. I think Mason Appleton could potentially be a name that people remember on the Seattle team in the next few years of like, wow, they actually got him. He was exposed. He's a guy that I think could be on that level. Now, people that I had to leave out of this lineup, out of the starting lineup, that were difficult. Marcus Johansson and Connor Carrick, it was really difficult to leave them out of the starting lineup. They didn't fit into this version of the starting lineup. But I think they absolutely will get playing time in this lineup somewhere on some nights at some point. I do think that they eventually get themselves between the both of them. I think they get at least 20 to 40 games each on this team somewhere. But that just segues to the real question here. What other moves could Ron Francis, the general manager of the Seattle Kraken, have up his sleeve? Is he done with this potential lineup? Could we actually see some changes between now and October? That's left to be seen. And one way I think I could see some change is if certain restricted free agent contracts aren't signed and players are threatening to leave for an offer sheet. Maybe Ron Francis could go out there and try to make a trade and then sign them after the fact. Not necessarily offer sheet somebody, because draft capital is insanely important for the Seattle Kraken at this point, but maybe going out and working out a deal of like, hey, you can't sign this guy. Let me offer you this and we'll take him and we'll see if we can sign him. Something like that could end up happening, but still left to be seen. The last variable I'll say before we wrap things up is I do think Vince Dunn on certain nights could also be getting first line defense minutes. So he could be a guy that could play 22 to 24 minutes per night. Eventually, just maybe not from the get-go. Tread the waters, see what happens. But it's time to start wrapping things up with our question of the day, which our question of the day is the same as always. Where did the Seattle Kraken finish in the Pacific Division? So, Tom, I'll start with you. Where do you think
they finished? Well, like I've previously alluded to in our previous previews. Wow, that's say that four times fast. You know, my first through fourth in this division are pretty well set in stone. I'm going to have to go with fifth or sixth. It all really depends on what LA does. If LA can take the next step with the younger players they're going to have in the lineup this year, and, you know, you get guys like Turcotte and guys like Byfield taking that next step and really showing the players that they can become, then I'm going to say Seattle finishes in sixth. If LA sputters out at all, I could see Seattle finishing in fifth. If things go awry in the Central Division with some teams, maybe they challenge for that last playoff spot, but I'm going to say fifth or sixth just to play it safe.
I think that's realistic. I'm going to go for the riskier pick, and I'm going to say, honestly, if all goes right for Seattle, I honestly think they can finish fourth, and that's where I have them finishing right now. And yes, it is an unpopular opinion, and I'm ready to be eviscerated and attacked by Canucks fans that feel like I slighted them and said that they won't make the playoffs and will miss it by just a little bit. But here's the thing. Here's the one thing that I think Seattle has going for them that not a lot of teams in the Pacific Division have. And that's solid defense and really solid goaltending. You know, you look around the Pacific Division, the reason why this Pacific Division is considered a weak division is not necessarily because of the forwards that we see in this division. Not really. It's because some defenses you can literally skate around like an orange traffic cone and like a pylon. On this team, realistically, there's maybe one or two guys that stick out as like a potential, oh yeah, they could be an orange traffic cone. And those guys, in my mind, that some people might point out, maybe Mark Giordano, maybe Jamie Oleksiak. But I defy that a little bit. Mark Giordano was only 2 years removed from a Norris Trophy winner. And sure, his game has fallen off a little bit. He's not at that point even nearly that he's an orange traffic cone yet. He still contributes in a very, 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 very big way on this Seattle lineup this year. And having a Vezina runner-up this year also helps this lineup. And that's something that not other teams can say. Vegas could say that. Vegas could say, oh, we had the Vezina winner, except they traded him for nothing. So they don't. So I think if all goes right for this team, I think Seattle could finish fourth. And it's not because of their offense. It's going to be because of stellar defensive play and stellar goaltending. And sometimes your best offense is a really, really good defense. But as always, guys, what do you guys think? Do you agree with my take? Do you definitely disagree with my take? Do you agree with Tom's take? Do you disagree with Tom's take? Well, you guys should let us know. Comment down below. And while you're commenting down below, make sure you drop a like and subscribe for the rest of our team previews coming up. And you can also check out our team previews down below at i80sports.com, where not only can you find our team previews there, you can find the rest of our NHL content, our NFL, MLS, NBA, and NCAA football content there as well. And make sure that you follow us down below on Twitter at i80_sportsNHL. And if you're already following from Twitter, thank you guys so much, because we greatly value all of your support and all of your feedback so far. But it's time to wrap things up here for Seattle and also wrap things up for the Pacific Division. Make sure that you join us in the coming days as we start previewing the Central Division teams. But until then, I'm Brian. He's Tom. This has been our Seattle Kraken 2021-2022 team preview.